It was the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. This Sunday marks 100 years since the end of World War I. At the time, it was believed to be the war to end all wars. 4 years of conflict, 17 million people killed. For most, it's a piece of history. But for many families, the loss continues to resonate. NewsHour special correspondent Malcolm Brabant is part of one such family, and he brings us this very personal report about his great-grandfather.
In my mum's modest home in eastern England, there is a gallery of those taken early. Her first grandchild, her husband, and on the fireplace, the grandfather she never met, Corporal Charles Swansbury of the Royal Fusiliers Regiment.
My mother was very proud of him. And I am. He's the family hero, isn't he? I think he was very brave.
Before enlisting in the British Army, Charles Swansbury worked for the Metropolitan Railway Company in North London. It's virtually certain he drove this very engine, saved from the scrapyards when steam died out, and now operational again on a heritage line. Swansbury never went beyond the rail yard. He was a shunter, repositioning engines and carriages in the sidings. Today's engineer, Alex Alder, entirely understands why Charles Swansbury volunteered when war broke out.
Doing this job day in, day out, every day, for some it must have been very exciting. For the majority, it must have been extremely boring, extremely dull. You were given this job, you were stuck with it for life, and there was no progress. So to have been offered the opportunity to go over the sea and do something honourable and prove yourself as a respectable figure in your family, for some that must have been a huge opportunity.
Swansbury was 26 with three children. Railmen, like coal miners, were vital for the war effort and weren't required to enlist. But he was blamed for a number of derailments and was in trouble at work.
Don't put it in.
It's the truth, Mum.
No, you can admit that.
No, you can't, because, you know, it's the truth, it's out there.
It's not fair to do that.
It is, Mum, it's
like,
the truth.
It's like when people are digging dirt out of everybody these days, and that's not right.
But he...
No, that's not fair.
Carried along on a wave of patriotism and propaganda, Swansbury headed for the front lines in Belgium and northern France, and 4 years of carnage. The volunteers are venerated as lions, led by donkeys, the generals. Historian Glyn Prizzer follows a line of training trenches near my home west of London. How should history judge the donkeys, the Allied commanders?
They were attempting to fight a modern war without the understanding of how modern war worked. Many of the things that they tried to do in the early years of the conflict, they didn't have the equipment or the weaponry or the technology to succeed. And so what you ended up with were really huge casualty numbers for minimal gains in terms of yardage and territory.
Nowhere epitomises that futility more than the Somme region of France, where Charles Swansbury had his first real taste of action. On the first day of the Somme, 20,000 British troops were killed, 40,000 were wounded, and only 3 square miles of territory was captured. Across Britain today, there are art installations representing the rivers of blood. David Carter is a specialist in the history of Swansbury's regiment.
They were told, form a line, march slowly forward and you'll be okay. Unfortunately, the Germans hadn't read that part of the script and were ready with the machine guns, having come out of their deep trenches.
And these were only young kids, weren't they? I mean, how would you feel if Lucas went?
My 19-year-old son Lucas is walking hallowed ground, where 800 troops from Newfoundland and Canada went over the top of the trenches on July the 1st. The next day, only 68 answered the roll call.
If you look at the devastation of life, you know, how many lives were lost here, just imagine with, you know, the weapons and the technology that we have now, just imagine, you know, the millions that could die if something like this breaks out again.
Swansbury's unit was one of the few to capture their objective on the Somme, but they lost 1 in 4 of their men.
From reading letters and diaries men have written, they only knew what was happening in a very small area around them. Probably a couple of 100 yards either side of them. They would see their friends being mown down. I suspect it was only afterwards the realisation dawned of what an escape some of them had had, and some of the psychological problems probably cut in years afterwards.
This is a card that my granddad sent to my mum.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, and...
Please send me back my daddy.
In 1917, tanks broke the stalemate of trench warfare. Swansbury fought alongside them at Cambrai in France and Pearl Capelle in Belgium, where this replica was built by Johan van Besseleer.
There were trenches, there were automatic guns, barbed wire, and with such a tank they could go straight through the barbed wire. They could pass a trench and they were immune for automatic guns.
The cyclists are passing along a ridge near Pearl Capelle that was held by the Germans. This was part of the infamous quagmire known as Passchendaele.
If you fell off the duckboard, the chances were you would drown. It was so bad, and if men did fall in, then actually getting them out was incredibly difficult, and often they didn't bother.
In June 1918, Corporal Charles Swansbury was awarded Britain's third highest honour for bravery. Historian David Carter believes he earned the military medal during an attack on Lug Farm. We identified the general location in northern France, but the farm is no longer there. Swansbury's story has been hard to document precisely because a building containing his and other records was bombed during the Second World War.
It could have been capturing machine gun post. It could have been for the way in which he conducted himself during the course of the battle. But unfortunately, the citations were burnt with the medal rolls in 1942, so we'll never know.
By this stage, the dynamic of the war had completely changed because of the involvement of the United States, which entered the conflict in 1917. Under the leadership of General John Pershing, on the left, American troops, fresh and enthusiastic, demoralized the Germans, who by now had been forced to send old men and boys to the front.
They were a really effective fighting force, and the Germans really had no answer to the overwhelming weight of American firepower. The battles were incredibly bloody, about 120,000 casualties from just over a million men in the field. But the Americans played a significant part in the overall Allied advance that led to victory.
With victory just 8 weeks away, Charles Swansbury's luck ran out here in northern France in September 1918.
Charles Swansbury's unit was trying to create a whole system of trenches by linking up shell holes. And during this period, they suddenly got shelled really heavily.
He was identified as being killed on the 5th on the memorial, which means that somebody came back and said, I saw him die.
I always remember my grandmother told me that she had two or three dreams about my granddad. He was walking backwards, and there was this church. The doors closed. She knew that he was dead when they came with the telegram.
At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Lest we forget.
Lest we forget.
And so to St Mary's Church in Harrow, close to Swansbury's former home, where men from the parish will be honoured this Sunday, 100 years after the armistice, in a commemoration organised by Michael Chandler.
I think it's important to remember their contribution. It took away a whole generation.
You are, Michael.
Thank you very much.
The photograph will help worshippers put a face to a name engraved next to the altar alongside his younger brother Frank, who also died in 1918, after losing his legs.
Terrible. I mean, you don't have your children to be gunned for, do you?
Those are his medals.
Where on earth did you get these?
Sadly, they're replicas.
Hmm? Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before leaving the battlefields, we had one remaining duty at the Plurg Street Memorial for those with no known grave. Was he blown to pieces or lost in the mud? We'll never know.
I think it's heartwarming to see his name up there. Seeing all the thousands of names up here and going to all the unmarked graves has really given me a perspective of the waste of life that happened during the war. I don't think anyone has learned anything from the past 100 years, and I think in a lot of ways, it still could happen again. I think the world is more divided than it has been in a very long time, and that something like this could very easily happen again.
Charles Swansbury fought for the circle of life, not the circle of death. His generation's sacrifices moulded today's attitudes. We disdain deference. We don't trust politicians. We question everything, and perhaps those values will save our children. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant in Flanders.